Well, need water?
I think I'll be okay. If I start scratching, you might do that then. It's kind of interesting. I always love coming to Regency Baptist Church. So many faces that I know, and now there's some new faces. That's always exciting to see. But the church here has been supporting us for 23 years. You took us on while we were on deputation. So I was a lot younger back then, but so were you, so that's okay, right? It kind of just happens with life. But 23 years, and it's a joy to me personally to get to come back to a church that's been supporting us for 23 years. Not all of our churches, some have taken us on later. You know, we'd been there maybe 4 years, come back on a furlough, or I had the church take us on just a couple of months ago, and so just getting on board with the ministry and so forth. But to come back to Regency, a church like this one, who's been supporting us 23 years, and the reason why that's a blessing to me is because back then we came here as a deputation missionary, showed you some slides, and they really were slides back then. So remember that old carousel, and told you about what we wanted to do. I believe God wanted us to do. And you got behind us, you believed in that vision, and you took a chance on us. Because, you know, if statistically, a lot of missionaries don't make it. And you got behind us, believed in us, because God told you to, and been partnering with us now for 23 years. So I sincerely mean it when I say it's a joy to be here, to get to come back to a church. I'm looking forward to the afternoon service that we can just talk about Croatia and what God's done. So we'll do that then. It's always a joy to see Brother Faith. I mean that. Well, I was glad to see him when I didn't see him at the beginning of Sunday school, but after, he really means something to me and my wife and Brother Rich over in Croatia. Most of you know he came over there when we built the building and fell in the baptistry. We didn't have any water in it. He fell in the baptistry. And I thought we'd kill Brother Faith before we ever got started with the electricity stuff. But baptistry in Croatia, it's in the floor, it's in the platform. So it was just a hole in the ground back then. But boy, Brother Faith, all that he did there with the electricity, so far the building hadn't burnt down, so I think he did a good job. We think it's okay. But I'll tell you, that baptistry, I can't tell you how many people we baptized in that baptistry. We put water in it, kind of makes it a little easier, and some steps. But we'll look forward to showing you that the next hour and of what God has done. So I'm going to ask you to take your Bible and turn to the Psalms, and I'll get there in just a second. Psalm 45, and it is a joy to get to be here this morning. To open the Word of God with you, and I'm looking forward to that, Psalm 45. And if you wouldn't mind standing with me as we read the Word of God together, I know that won't offend you in a church like this one, but if it does, just be glad I didn't turn to Psalm 119 and you'll feel better about it, I promise. It always helps you. Psalm 45, verse number 1. And if you're sick, I don't expect you to stand if you're not able, but if you can, please stand with me. Verse number 1, my heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth, and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and alloys, cassia, out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. And I want to draw your attention to verse 6 where the Bible says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Amen. Scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Amen. And I'm going to preach to you this morning on the subject my King, my King. Our Father, we love you and thank you, dear God, for the day. And God, I ask you, please, Lord, to speak to your people. God, I need you this morning, and love this church, Father, love these people. And God, I love their stance, and they want to do things the right way, the right book, and worship God. I thank you for that, Lord. And God, I want to be a blessing to them this morning, but I need you, Father. I know, Father, there's nothing in me that could say anything, God, that would be good without the Holy Spirit of God saying it through me. So I'm trying my very best, Lord, to yield to you this morning and ask you, Father, to take me as a vessel and use me. Father, I pray this morning that you would fill me with the Spirit of the living God, hide me behind the cross of Calvary, and use me, Father, to be a blessing to your people. Father, I pray that you would help me not say anything that would bring shame or dishonor to my Savior. God, I only want to say that which would be right and pleasing to you today. So help me to do that, Father. And God, I ask you to speak directly to our hearts this morning. Please, dear Father, speak to those who might be listening via the internet. I pray, dear God, you take this message, burn it in our hearts today. Help us to draw closer to our Lord. And I pray this, God, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Before I forget, I do want to say thank you to Brother John. That was a wonderful Sunday school message. It really was. I really appreciate that. It was good. Well, I want to say by way of introduction this morning that Jesus is mentioned throughout the Bible. He's not just found in the New Testament, but you can find Jesus through just about every page of the Bible if you're looking for him. He's there. The Bible is a book about Jesus. It's not just about the Jewish people and their history, though it is. It is a book foremost about Jesus. And in the Bible, we find that Jesus is called by many different titles in the Bible. I think we would agree that he's called Lord. We find many calling him Lord. That's one of his titles in the Bible. I think another one would be Master. Many of the disciples would say Master when they talk to the Lord, and certainly he is. Another title would be Prince. We know that the Bible talks about the Prince that will come. Not the Prince of this world, but the Prince of Peace, the Bible calls him in the book of Isaiah. Another title would simply be Prophet. He certainly was a prophet, though he did not come to be a prophet, though I think we could say he was one. I think another title would be Priest, though he's not just an ordinary priest, he's definitely the High Priest. So we find many different titles. Messiah, Christ, is certainly a title given to the Lord Jesus. And there's probably many more that I didn't list here that you could think of as you're reading your Bible. And there's a lot of titles that would describe the Lord Jesus this morning. But I think that there's a title in my mind that describes him best, and that's the title of King. Jesus is a prophet, make no mistake about it. He is Lord, that is certain. He is my high priest. I don't have to go through an earthly man to be my priest. I have a priest, and his name is Jesus. So I certainly agree with that statement this morning. But I want to say to you, above all, he is my King. He is supreme in my life. He's the King of all the earth. He's the King of the heavens. He's the King of the universe. He is King this morning. But I want you to know that not only is he King of the universe, I want you to know that he is my King. Personal. He's not just a king, he is my King. I want to make that very clear this morning. I belong to his kingdom. I want to say to you this morning that he's not just king, he is my King. I got saved, and I thank God I got saved. I thank God that I got born into the family of God. And by the way, that happened many, many years ago, over 30 years ago now. And you're going to find out through the message, I hadn't got over it yet. I'm still pretty excited that I'm saved. I still get excited that I'm not on my way to hell. And by the way, it'd do good if Americans in our country would get excited they're saved again. You know, you can be excited in church. I'm not talking about being crazy. I'm talking about getting excited that you're saved. You get excited about it, you'll like preaching. I like that Sunday school message because I'm excited about the Bible because I'm excited that I'm saved this morning. So I just want to put that out right now so you don't look at me like a calf looking new gate in a minute. I went to Croatia many years ago. Brother Faith was over there, met our people, met Brother Rich and them. I went over there and started preaching. I get excited when I get preacher because I'm just excited I'm saved. And if my voice starts crackling, I just did a 24-hour week this week teaching a college missions class and preached three times in chapel and once on Wednesday night and then three times last Sunday. So it's coming and going. So I don't always sound like a girl, but if I do, just you can laugh with me. It's kind of funny. I know it is. But Brother Faith was over there and our people, I'd get to preaching and they'd just look at me. And they thought, boy, that's and I what I'd do back then, I'd run down to the chair and I'd amen myself and I'd run back up. Well, I'm older now, I'm almost 50, I don't do that. I get tired running back and forth now, so I don't do that as much as I used to. But I tell them, they'd say, well, Brother Johnny, you just don't understand. Europeans, we don't get excited in church. You know, we just don't get excited about that. We're Europeans, that's just who we are. We're reserved, kind of like up north. You know, you go up north, they'll tell you the same thing. We're you know, that's a southern thing. And so I said, okay. So I was okay. I just run down, amen myself, run back up. And I do that a couple of times. And, well, I went home one weekend and they had a soccer game on TV. Now the Europeans love soccer. I mean, that Croatian soccer team was playing in one of those World Cup things they do. And I mean to tell you, I was watching that game and they were literally setting the stands on fire. They'd come, they painted their face, they had a song they were singing, they were throwing rockets up into the air, watching that soccer game. I mean, they got excited. So I went to church that Sunday, and I had a message, and I called it, "You're All Liars." It's the title of my message. And I said to them, I told them when I watched that soccer game, and I said, can I say something to you right now? You're all liars because you get excited about what you want to get excited about. And by the way, that's true for us. We get excited about some things. Just God doesn't always excite us. Boy, He excites me. He excites me. So I said that. I don't know why I said it. I just feel better about it. Sometimes I find preaching is kind of like therapy. I say things, I just feel better. So, you know, number one. I want to, for our message today, I want to preach to you on the subject, what does it mean that Jesus is my King? That's what I want to talk to you about today. What does it mean that He's my King? Number one, Jesus is my King means that I pledge my allegiance to Jesus. Amen. I pledge my allegiance to Jesus. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter number 16, if you would. Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew chapter number 16. And look at verse 24, if you would. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it. So we have some verses that's talking about how to follow the Lord. And He said, if any man will come after Me, he's going to have to do a few things. He's going to have to deny himself. The Bible says he's going to have to take up his cross and follow Me. Now I want you to take your Bibles and look at a parallel scripture of this passage in the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 14. And we're going to look in Luke 14, verse 25, and kind of look at a parallel or another time the Lord is talking about this theme in verse number 25. He says, and there went great multitudes with Him, and He turned and said unto them, if any man come to Me, now look at it, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also. Now what does your Bible say? Mine says he cannot be My disciple. He cannot be My disciple. And I want you to listen to me, dear friend, this morning. We talk about discipleship in America, and I really don't think we understand really what it means. See, to the American Christian, what discipleship means is we get a series of books and we disciple someone and learn something. Well, I'm not against that. I think you ought to learn. The more I learned something this morning in Sunday school, I was getting a hold of that. I was learning. So I understand that that's part of it, but that's not being a true disciple. The Lord Jesus gave a definition of what you got to do if you're going to be a disciple. You can teach all you want. They can have all the knowledge they want. But if they're not willing to do these things, He said they cannot be My disciple. You understand that? You can say you're His disciple all you want. But if you're not willing to do what He said, He didn't say it'd be hard to be My disciple. He said you cannot be My disciple. So he gives a list here, there in verse 26. He said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother. Well, that's pretty extreme right there. Did you hear what he said? And wife. Well, that's a hard one. Children. That's pretty difficult. And brethren, sisters. It's not always too difficult, but okay, I get it. Yea. Now this is the hardest one. And his own life also. He cannot be not my disciple. Now, I'm not talking about being saved. See, I think we mix discipleship and salvation together, and they're not mixed together. See, you get saved. Now, every born-again child of God ought to be his disciple. I'm for that. But let me tell you something. There's a lot of people in this church right now, and you don't hate your father and your mother. And if God called you to go somewhere, you wouldn't go because you couldn't leave your children. And according to the Lord Jesus, on that definition, you cannot be his disciple. So if discipleship was salvation, you're not saved. And by the way, that'd probably be most of our Baptist churches. But I think every born-again Christian ought to become his disciple. Every born-again Christian ought to follow the Lord. But what's his definition? You're going to have to hate your father and your mother, your children, your wife. Yay! And even your own life. That's his definition. Now, let me just kind of make this make sense to you. I don't literally think he means I'm to go to my wife and say, honey, I hate you. I don't think that's what he's talking about. I don't. I'll give you an illustration. We've been in Croatia for 21 years. My wife's mother got very sick, was in a nursing home, and her brother got very mad at her and basically accused her of not loving her mother because we wouldn't come home. Now see, to the American Christian, you're supposed to come home and take care of mom and dad. But God called me to go to Croatia. God called her to go to Croatia. I am to love him and she is to love him more than mom and dad. I know this isn't popular today, but it's the biblical truth. It's what's missing in our country. See, we serve him when it's convenient. We serve him when something else is in the way. But I'm telling you this morning, what does it mean that he's my king? It means my allegiance is to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. First, not second. 21 years in Croatia, that happened. Here's another one. Our oldest son, we left him behind. Go to college. He had some problems. Well, to the American Christian, we're supposed to come home, take care of... Wait a minute, he said, if you don't hate your father and your mother, and what else did it say? I think he added children in there. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
We had to say, we can't come home. Then we had a daughter and another son stayed behind each time. See, what we got in America, I think we need to wake up. A lot of times we play church is what we do in America. We left our son, our oldest, our middle son, and then our daughter, and each time it was hard. You go back, and they're having trouble in college. Guess what? Mom and dad want to run home. But what does it mean that he's my king? It means my allegiance is to the Lord Jesus Christ. It means her allegiance is to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know that's not what Dr. Phil's going to tell us to do, but it's what Dr. Jesus says to do. So, now I've got a grandbaby. I looked at my boot this morning. It's all scuffed up because this morning he's staying at my mom and dad's where we're sleeping at last night. And this morning he's getting on my boot and I can't walk without him being, I got to carry him around the living room getting a workout, with a little grandbaby. Well, I tell you what, those grandbabies are hard. What I mean by hard, we're going to go back December the 2nd. And he's going to stay behind. And he's already saying now, Poppy, how long are you going to be gone? But you see, my allegiance has to be to the Lord Jesus Christ because He is my King. Before I belong to a country and I love this flag, my allegiance is to my King. Are you with me this morning? I'm talking about He's my King. What does that mean? It means my allegiance is to my King. It's not to my country. It's not to my children. It's not to my mom and dad. It's not to my family. It is to my King. That's what it means. Is he your king this morning? Where's your allegiance? Who have you given your allegiance to? I pledge allegiance to the flag. I'm okay with that. As long as it's behind him. And I'm afraid in our American version of Christianity, can I tell you, a lot of times what we do is we pledge allegiance to our flag over him. And I'm for that. I'm for every one of you men that have served this country and sacrificed. God bless you. I'm for that. But I'm for him more. He's my king. What does it mean? It means I pledge my allegiance to my king. Before I belong to a country, I belong to my king. Take your Bibles to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11 this morning. Hebrews 11. Chapter 24, or verse 24. The Bible says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Most of you know the story how Moses grew up in Pharaoh's house. It's that miraculous way that his daughter saw him floating there in the river in the basket of bulrushes. And you know the story how that he grew up there, and now he has a choice to make. And can I tell you what he said? He said, my allegiance is to Christ. My allegiance is to God. I think this morning what we need is some of God's people to make a decision that Jesus is their king, which means their allegiance must be to Jesus. It's not to a country. It's not to a family. It's not to a pleasure. Your allegiance this morning ought to be to Jesus. We're missing that today. How many teenagers, their allegiance is to whatever they can get out of this world instead of the king? You know, I've been told teenagers today that, you know, they can't serve God. I don't believe that. Can I tell you about a young man by the name of John Harper, grew up in Glasgow, Scotland, a 15-year-old boy, got up on a flower pot out in the street and started preaching, opened his Bible and started preaching, and literally hundreds of people got saved. Winded up pastoring a church there in Glasgow, Scotland, had over 1,000 people getting saved every week. 15-year-old boy. Because he said, I don't need what this world has to offer. I want Christ. My allegiance is to Christ. God's looking for someone this morning. Someone that would say, I don't need this world. Someone that would say, Jesus is my king. Someone that would say, my allegiance is to Jesus first. Oh, we need that. And can I tell you, politics isn't the answer. That's not going to save this country. I don't care who you put in the White House. What's going to save this country is when God's people start putting Jesus first. Before I belong to a country, I belong to my king. All my energy I want to use for my king. I want to give my all to my king this morning. So that's the very first thing it means. Number two, what does it mean that Jesus is my king? It means that this world is not my home. This world's not my home. Boy, I thank God for that. This world's not my home. Take your Bibles to Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 8. That's where we're at, but go to verse 8. The Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Amen. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Boy, isn't that good stuff? Can I tell you something? I'm not of this world. My king is not of this world. My king is preparing a home for me. I'm a sojourner here on this earth. My home is in heaven. I do not belong here because my home is not here. My home is in heaven. That's why I can serve him in Croatia. That's why I can leave America. That's why I can do what I do, because my home is not here. You know, my home's not in Croatia either. It's not here. My home is in heaven. I'm just passing through to a better place. My king is there. He's coming back for me. We're going to get into that in just a moment. But can I tell you something? It'd be good if we'd get a hold of that. We're not of this world. Now, I love our country. I think it's wonderful. Missionaries being sent out. God has prospered and blessed our country. But can I tell you something? I'm not of this country. My king is not the president of the United States of America. Amen. Amen. No, no, no. And by the way, he's not president. He's king. And by the way, he's not only king, he's king of kings. I thank God for that. He's coming. My king means that Jesus is my king, means this world is not my home. See, if he's your king this morning, if he is your king, then you're not of this world. You have another kingdom to live for. And it'd be good if we'd live for that kingdom. So let me give you the last thing. Jesus is my king means I'm on the side of victory. That's what it means. I'm on the side of victory. Now, I like this one. Revelation chapter number 19. Revelation chapter 19. I don't know about you, but it's kind of troubling times around us. Sometimes the world seems very unstable lately. We hear about dictators. We hear about China and North Korea and Russia and all that's going on in the world. And sometimes if you follow that stuff, it can be overwhelming. It looks, you can get pretty stressed out about it. When you start thinking about what's going on, and then you think about the condition of our country, you know, that 1945 generation, I'm afraid, I'd be afraid of that. We got so many sissies today, I don't think they could fight anybody. I don't know if they'd know what bathroom to use. I don't know if they're going to fight anybody. So when you think of it that way, I mean, it's not that World War II generation that can stand up and have some character and get ready to fight. So it's kind of stressful. But look at Revelation chapter number 19, verse number 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, I think someday soon my king is coming. I don't know when, but I think it's soon. Now, I know this is at the end of the tribulation period, and I understand that. I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, that at any moment the trumpet's going to sound, we're going to go up. I get that. But there's coming a day, and I don't know when. I don't think it's very far off. I could see it in my mind's eye. All of the world powers with all their might assembling to destroy the King of Kings. I can see China with all of their million man army lining up to destroy the King of Kings led by the Antichrist. I can see that in my mind's eye. All the tanks they line up. All the military power and their nuclear arsenal lined up to destroy the King of Kings. I can see Russia. I can see Putin, as that dictator is. I can see all of his might coming down to help them to destroy the King of Kings, led by the Antichrist. All those MiGs flying in the sky. All of the military might that they're so proud about. And all the rest of the armies joining them, coming together to destroy the King of Kings. And all of a sudden, here comes Jesus, not on a tank, not flying an airplane. He's riding a horse. Think about it. All those tanks, all the MiGs, all the aircraft flying in the air. And here's the Son of God, the King of Kings, coming back on a horse. Well, I imagine Putin. I don't know I'm not even going to try to pronounce the China guy's name, but you probably know what it is, Ching Chang or something like that. I could see him looking as he comes riding in that horse. I imagine they're probably going to be laughing, thinking, well, we got this. Who's he think he is riding a horse? What's he think this is? King Arthur's day? You imagine that? Son of God coming back on the horse, all the armies of the world lined up against him to destroy him. And all of a sudden, they see him, and boy, he's got something written on his thigh that says, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Boy, I like that. And all of a sudden, he doesn't got a tank with him. He doesn't have an aircraft with him. He doesn't have one nuclear missile with him. But he's got something that's going to come out of his mouth. It's called the Word of God. And by the way, can I tell you something? The Word of God is powerful. Do you know what he did with the Word of God? The Bible says in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. You know how he did it? He spoke and it happened. And God said, and it was so. And God said, and it was so. The Word of God is a powerful thing. And I can see this great battle as it unfolds. All the armies of the world lining up with the Antichrist finally to destroy the God. And here's Jesus coming back on a white horse, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's got the armies of heaven with him. Now, I don't know. I was told it might be us. I don't know if that's true or not. It might be. I had an old preacher come to Croatia. 84 years old, from Oklahoma City. Brother Dr. Bill Smith was his name. He said when he used to run the Silver State Ranch out there, or youth camp out in Colorado. Y'all might be familiar with that. He ran that for 30, 40 years right after Harvey Springer did. He preaches for me in Croatia. He's 84 years old. He's preaching from Revelation one day in a church in Croatia. He said when I was the over that ranch, that youth camp, Silver State, it was a cowboy place. He said I went and bought a white horse. He said, I know I was going to come back on a horse with the Lord, and I didn't know how to ride a horse. So he said, I got me a horse, learn how to ride the horse. Y'all might need to get you some horses. I don't know. But you can imagine that. Here's the Son of God coming down with the armies of heaven with him, but they don't have to fight. They're not going to lift one hand against the enemy. Because as Jesus is riding that horse, a Word of God is going to come out of his mouth. And the Bible says they will be destroyed with the Word of God. Wow. And by the way, Biden might be there with Putin. I don't know if America's going to be there or not at that time. But it might be. And we might have all of our military power there. And one word out of his mouth. And by the way, I know I just lost half of you for saying what I just said. That's because your allegiance might not be to the king. Hello. Amen. My allegiance is to the king. I love this country. I'll fight for the country for you and with you. But can I tell you something? My allegiance is not here. My allegiance is my king. That's right. I'm not going to look back and see what flag everybody else got. I'm looking for that flag that he's carrying. I'm looking for the banner that says King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I'm going to follow him because he is my king. My allegiance is to him. What a wonderful, glorious thing that's going to be. Amen. Jesus. Why? What does it mean that he's my king? It means I'm on the side of victory. You know, you ever read books? I don't like to read a lot. I like to read a lot of biographies and stuff about missionaries, things of that nature. But you know, if I'm reading a book, I always like to go to the end and see what happens. Kind of ruins the book, you know, but it saves you a lot of time that way. You can just read the end and see what happens. Can I tell you, at the end of the book, he wins. It may look pretty bad today. It may look like our heels are against the wall. It may look like we're having to run from the enemy. Can I tell you, there's a day coming, he's winning. He wins. Amen. What side are you on this morning? Amen. Where's your allegiance this morning? If God called you to go to the mission field, would you go? If God called you to go across the street to your neighbor and knock on the door and give them a gospel tract, would you do that? Amen. Where is your allegiance this morning? Is he your king? I want you to know, I'm just trying to declare to you this morning, church, he's my king. Amen. That's why we've been in Croatia 21 years. Mm-hmm. And we'll stay there as long as our king wants us there. Because he's our king. This world's not my home. I don't have to put roots down. People say, you got a house in America? No, I don't. Makes it hard when you take furlough, but we don't have a house. Our roots aren't here. We're trying to serve our king. And in the end, can I say to you, he wins. Amen. One day my king is coming to this earth, and he'll reign all kingdoms, and every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess to my king. Take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 2 as we close. Philippians chapter number 2 this morning. Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 9. Philippians 2, 9. Bible says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." I want you to know something, my friend. There's a day that Putin's going to bow his knee before God. And he's going to confess that he's Lord. There's a day coming that the leader of North Korea is going to bow before the Lord. His tongue's going to confess. There's a day that the atheist is going to bow before the Lord and confess who he is. He wins in the end. I'm going to serve my King. I'm going to live for my King. I'm tired in America as we travel around. I'm tired of seeing people play church. It's become a country club. It's become a place we're supposed to do. It ought to be a passion to us. It ought to be something that excites us because our King is coming back. Let me be living for our King. I'm not saying you're not. I know a lot of you are. But I'm not stupid either. There's probably some in here that need to make him their King. There's some in here maybe that's never been born again. And you might need to get saved this morning. And by the way, going to church doesn't make you saved. No more than going to the Catholic church makes someone saved. You must be born again. I can remember the day that I got saved. If you can't, you need to get saved this morning. And I'm not trying to make anybody doubt their salvation. I wouldn't want to do that for the least. But I'm convinced in America the problem why people can't get excited in church is they're not saved. I don't think that's always the case, but I tell you what, I think there's something going on, folks. I think there's a lot of people sitting in Baptist churches that's never been born again. I didn't grow up in church. My daddy wasn't a preacher, wasn't a Christian man. And I got saved. I got saved all over. Something happened. And I got excited about it. I think something ought to be burning in your heart right now. Holy Spirit ought to be speaking to you right now that He's King. He's Lord, because He is. You might not like the messenger, but can I tell you something? He's King. You ought to like Him. What a King we serve. If we could have every head bowed, every eye closed.